you ought to have, be able to remember the time. Maybe it was at an altar. Maybe it was at a door, someone knocking on doors, and they showed you from the precious word of God how you could know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And tonight, I'll be honest with you, it's just going to be more or less serve as a reminder about our salvation. And like I said, the title tonight is Where Will Salvation Take You? The Bible says, Isaiah chapter 12, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God, and we'll read verses 1, 2, and 3. I'll read, and then we'll read responsively. I'll read, and then you read, and so forth. Isaiah chapter 12, I'll read, you read verse 2. Yeah, we'll both read verses 2 and 3, all right? But I'll read the first verse. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and be not afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I need you tonight. Pray, God, you'd give me that extra strength, that extra boost of energy here this evening to preach to these, my people, Lord. I thank you for these dear people. I pray, God, that you'd bless them. Bless them for their effort to be in a church on Sunday evening, rather, and thank you for them being here tonight. I pray, Holy Spirit, that everything would be exactly what you'd want done tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Where will salvation take you? In this text that we read just a couple seconds ago, that one word is used three times. That word salvation is probably the most important word that you'll find in the entire Bible. In fact, in the Bible, if you took time and looked up the word salvation, you'd find it 164 times. In the Old Testament, the word comes from a Hebrew word which means deliverance and victory. In the New Testament, it comes from a Greek word that means deliverance, preservation, and safety. And we know that salvation is what we receive when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And I trust that every single person here tonight, that you know Jesus as personal Savior. I hope that somewhere along the way you have realized that we're all sinners. You realize there's a price on sin, and the Bible teaches very plainly that price is hell. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That word death there is literally talking about a place called hell. And by the way, hell was not prepared for us. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But we don't have to go there. Jesus, God sent his son, only son Jesus, to die on the cross to give us eternal life. And thank God for that. Thank God that he just didn't go ahead and just throw us away. And once sin entered into the world, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, that one man, of course, the story of Adam and Eve, they went ahead and, of course, they blew it there in the Garden of Eden. That's where sin came from. That's why we have the sin nature today. That's why we have even the pain and the sorrow and different things that we have today. But I thank God, God just didn't go ahead and throw everything away and say, you know what, Adam, I'm starting all over, or forget it. Is this going to be me on my throne here in heaven? I thank God he didn't do that. I thank God that he designed a wonderful plan by sending his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross to take all of our sin. I thank God for that. I thank God for salvation. I trust that you've been saved this evening. Salvation is a gift of God. As I mentioned a moment ago, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, when God gives you a gift, he's not going to go ahead and take it away. You know what? Had he gone ahead and did that, well, you went ahead and blew it. Had he gone ahead and given me the gift of salvation and termed it that way and said and saw me go ahead and blow it or say something I should have said or did something that I didn't do, shouldn't have done rather, and he goes and said, oh, you went ahead and blew it, Sean. I'm taking that gift away. You know what? That would have been a lie. That would have been that would not have been a gift, if you will. That would have been an Indian giver, if you will. When God gives you a gift, it is a gift that is yours for a lifetime. He gave you that gift of eternal life. He saved you with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and nobody can go ahead and take you out of his hand. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. You know, he wants to give you that gift of eternal life tonight if you've not already already received it. But if you're here tonight, Christian, maybe you're backslidden. We talked a little bit about this morning. Maybe you're backslidden and so forth. You know what? Even though you may be in the most backslidden state that you may have ever been in your life, you know what? God will not take that gift of salvation away. Thank God for that. I thank God for our eternal security. Salvation is a gift when we trust Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is not a thing that we're going to receive someday. It is a present possession of every person who's received Jesus into their hearts. Let me just ask you, have you received him into your heart? If you take the time to study the doctrine of salvation in the Bible in the last few days, I've just been looking over this word and salvation and different things, you find that salvation is responsible for moving people from a place where they were. Salvation always takes you somewhere. Take your Bible. I'm going to use my Bible for a few minutes, and then I'll get to the four points, key points, simple points that I have. But take your Bibles. Let me just give you a few biblical examples here. In Exodus chapter 14, the Bible says this. Exodus chapter 14, very familiar story here. For instance, okay, as I mentioned, salvation always takes you somewhere. Okay? Salvation is... you will find that salvation is responsible for moving people from a place where they were. For example, it brought Israel out of bondage. In Exodus chapter 14, 13, the Bible says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." Now, let's just go ahead and picture this for just a moment, of course. Israel, the Israelites are God's people. Back in Exodus chapter 1, you'll see that they were in hard bondage. They were slaves and so forth. And God says, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to deliver my people. They're going to have a land that I'm going to promise them. I'm going to give them Canaan land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Now they're on their journey, okay? And God sends a deliverer, which is Moses, of course, that great man of God. God sends a deliverer, which is Moses, and starts leading them from Egypt to the promised land, to the victorious Christian life, if you will. Notice they were taken from bondage. Now think about this. Before you got saved, you were bound by sin. Okay? You were wrapped up in sin. Egypt is a type of the world, and so you are wrapped up in the world and all its pleasures, if you will. But you know what? God, okay, think about this now. See the beautiful picture here. God sent a deliverer. Amen? God sent Jesus, the deliverer. God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a promise. God loved you so much. He loved the world so much that he's willing to send his only Son. Think about that for a minute. I have four children, three are girls, one's boy. Couldn't imagine someone coming to my door and saying, "Hey, Sean, we need to take your only son," he wouldn't like it either, "to sacrifice him for the world." I couldn't imagine that. But because God knew he'd see his son one day, because of his divine plan and his design, if you will, he sent his only son, Jesus, a sinless Savior, to die on that cross, to take the beating that we deserve, to take the cross that we deserve, to take the crown of thorns that we deserve, to take the hell, if you will, that we deserve. And he sent his only son, sinless son, Jesus, to die on the cross to deliver us from the world. To deliver us from sin. So, salvation takes you somewhere. Boy, the moment you get saved, you ought to be going somewhere, amen? Boy, you know, salvation's more than just being saved. Boy, you know, salvation, if you're saved, boy, you ought to get excited about your salvation. Understand that you don't have to die and go to hell. You're on your way to heaven, glory land. We'll get there in just a moment. And you've been delivered from the depths of hell, if you will. And Jesus paid that price. Hey, you know what? See the picture. It brought Israel out of bondage. Jesus brought you out of bondage. Here they are right here in this verse that we read a while ago. Now, as they were on their journey, Moses, that great leader, that deliverer, leading the children of Israel, now they're at the Red Sea. And the Egyptians, as they started their journey, they just began their journey. The Egyptians started getting a little bit cattywampus, like, "What did we do? Oh, well, you know what? Let's go ahead and get all the chariots and Pharaoh and everybody gets on their chariots." They start going after the Israelites. Now, they come to the Red Sea. Their first major battle, if you will. They come to the Red Sea before them. And now they got the world coming after them. Now, again, I've preached somewhere along this line before, but you know what? Now the Israelites are getting a little bit nervous. I would be too. Egypt's after their head now. Egypt's like to go ahead and take them back and put them back into slavery and so forth now. And of course, if you read on, you know, they start whining and complaining to Moses and so forth. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not." Now, I want you to see salvation. "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." You know what? Salvation always takes you somewhere. Salvation, their salvation was to leave Egypt. And when God said, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to give you a promised land," he promised that they'd get there. God's not going to go back on his promise. And sure, we know the story how God miraculously opened up them at the Red Sea walls and they walked across on dry ground. Man, I would just love to see that. I would have liked to have been a whatever there just to have seen that. But hey, you know what? Salvation takes you somewhere. It brought Israel out of bondage, the salvation of the Lord. Hey, you know what? Another incident real quick. It brought Jonah out of the whale. We know the story. Turn to Jonah. Let's turn to Jonah real quick. I'll turn to a few scriptures, like I said. In verse number 2, let me just read several verses here, starting with verse 1. Now, Jonah's already in the whale, if you will. All right, in the fish, if you will. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord." Verse number 2. "And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas." See, Jonah's come to the realization now he needs to turn to somebody. Okay, he realized what he's done. Now this is Jonah's prayer to God, where he cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, "I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." In other words, he says, "I'm a coming back." He says, "I realize what I did. I did a no-no. I should have gone ahead and went to Nineveh and so forth. I'm a coming back. I'm turning my life around, if you will. The waters, verse number 5, compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head." He was just kind of going on what it was like to be in the belly of that fish, if you will. Just think about it. "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." And the Lord, now listen, he prayed, and the Lord went ahead in verse number 10, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Hey, you know what? Salvation went ahead and took him somewhere. It brought Jonah out of the whale. Hey, it brought David out of a pit in Psalm 40. In Psalm 40, read another few verses here. Psalm chapter 40. See the salvation here. "I waited patiently," verse number 1. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." Hey, you know what? It brought David out of a pit. Hey, remember the day that God went ahead and brought you out of the miry clay and set your feet upon the rock, that day of salvation, and he established your goings. Praise the Lord for that. Hey, you know what? Salvation is of the Lord. It'll take you somewhere. Hey, another illustration. I won't take time to read it right now, but it brought Paul out of his lost condition. He goes ahead. Of course, he was a murderer. He was a blasphemer, if you will. He hated God, but you know what? God went ahead and on that old Damascus road changed Saul's life at that time on the old Damascus road. Of course, then later on, God changed Saul's name to Paul. He became the greatest missionary, if you will, winning people to Jesus Christ. Boy, his life was changed forever. It brought Paul out of a lost condition. It brings every sinner out of darkness. Hey, remember the time that you were in dark? I'm thinking, I want you to reflect a little bit. Remember the time that you didn't know where you were going? You didn't know if you're going to die today, you'd go to heaven? Remember, it was so dark, you just didn't know. But Jesus, he sweetly saved you. You opened your heart to him. I'd like to just take a few minutes to tell you where salvation, if you have it, is going to take you. Number one, it'll take you to heaven. I know that's very obvious, but it'll take you to heaven. John chapter 14, let me just go ahead and read these familiar scriptures here. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Hey, where's salvation going to take you? It's going to take you to heaven if you're saved tonight. If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, it's going to take you to heaven. Boy, you know what? Just think about heaven just for a little bit. Think about the streets of gold. Think about the walls of jasper. Boy, in Revelation chapter 21, let me just read a few verses. I just got to go ahead and just read them scriptures. Revelation 21, let me just share with you. If you want to follow along the best you can. I know Miss Ruth, she's doing really well. She is really doing well tonight because I'm just moving right along here. But Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, I love this. Talk about heaven. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And talk about heaven. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Let's look on to some of the other benefits of heaven. Starting with verse 9 of that chapter, the Bible says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit of a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Think about this is heaven now. This is heaven having the glory of God. Her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And at a great wall and high, at the 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. One of the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, describing heaven still here, and in them had the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof in 144 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall is that of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto a clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Think beautiful, how beautiful this is. The 12 gates in heaven, every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, and it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is a light thereof. Just think about how beautiful a city. Hey, listen, boy, you're saved this evening. Let me tell you something. That's what we're heading to. You know what? The streets of gold are going to be exciting. Boy, the walls of jasper and all these gates of beautiful pearls and the beauty and all that's going to be so beautiful and wonderful. But you know what the most wonderful thing about heaven's going to be? It's going to be Jesus. You know, it just indicated that the last verse. There doesn't need to be a sun up there. There doesn't need to be a moon. There doesn't need to have any stars up there, because the glory of God is going to be all the light that heaven needs. Hey, you know what? Where's the salvation going to take you? Take you to heaven. All the believers are going to be there someday. Those who are saved are going to be there someday. Hey, think of the reuniting of your loved ones and your friends. Think of the godly that have gone on before. Remember the tears that were shed when they passed on? Boy, that first verse I read there, in verse number 4, there will be no tears there. You know what? You're going to be reunited with that grandma, that godly grandma, grandpa. You're going to be reunited with that friend that that was a best buddy of yours. You'll be reunited with that mama or that daddy that passed on. And you know what? Our salvation's going to take you to heaven. Number two, our salvation will take you into holiness, separation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says this: therefore, if any man be in Christ, talking about a Christian now, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It'll take you to heaven. You know, salvation will alter your life, or should. Salvation, when you get saved, you know what? The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore, as we sing. Because why? Because it's been a great day since I've been born again. You know what? The drugs, the alcohol, the booze, and the carousing, and the friends that would drag me away from a place like this and be in a church and read my Bible. Hey, you know what? Salvation and alter your life. That thing, the Bible says right here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All the old things, all the old stuff, all the old alcohol, whatever, everything that you were wrapped up, that ought to be all passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hey, there ought to be a newness in your life. Hey, salvation should alter your life. One mark of true repentance unto salvation is a drastically changed life. You know, when I got saved, you know, I don't have any desire. There's nothing that the world has tonight that I want. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about anything, I should say. But let me just say this twofold here. Talk about all the drugs and all that, their so-called way out of things. Well, if you do this, if you drink yourself drunk, if you smoke yourself and do all this, and it'll make you feel good. You know, the world has nothing that I want. You know why? Because once I got saved, you know what? I drastically changed my life, and it should have drastically changed your life. Your desires ought not be the same. Your thoughts ought not be the same. The things that you used to watch, the things you used to say, the place you used to go, hey, it ought not change. Why? Because it's been a great day since you've been born again. Amen. Amen. Salvation will take you into holiness. We should, the Bible says over across the page in 2 Corinthians 6, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He says, stay away from the filth, if you will. Hey, you know what? Salvation will take you into holiness. There will be a difference. Bible teaches in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. And you know what? Once you get saved, let me just say this. Once you get saved, I'm going to use this mic here a little bit here. Not this one, because the battery's dead. Yep. All right, so let me go to the other mic. All right, battery's dead on that one. Hopefully the battery's not dead on this one, but if not, if it is, I'll come down to where you are, amen? No, it's all right. And we can laugh, amen? Moving right along. But anyways, it'll take you into, there'll be a difference. You know, the Bible teaches in Galatians chapter 5, Brother Robles' boy took several weeks and taught on the fruits of the Spirit and so forth and so on, but it'll go ahead, and the Bible says that once you get saved, you know what? You got the old sin nature, and you've got the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says they war against each other. They'll go ahead and fight each other. You know, the old sin nature, you know what? By the way, the one that you feed the most will win at any given time. Okay? You know what? Unfortunately, when I got saved, you know what? My old sin nature did not just go ahead and go away. It's still there. And the devil will go ahead and use that if I open up any doors of opportunity, try to pick at it and try to drag me down and so forth and try to pull me away from my Bible reading and try to pull me away from church attendance and try to pull me away from the things that are very, very important for Christian growth and so forth. And you know what? The one that you feed, Galatians chapter 5, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and they war against each other. And the one that you feed, turn to Galatians chapter 5. I got to turn now. All right, we'll get done tonight. I know some of you were thinking, well, Pastor, you only have a page. Well, we'll get there, okay? Just be patient with me. Be patient. But let me just show you a couple things here, real quick. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I think we're doing really well. We're still doing good. Amen. Galatians. We read in verse number 6, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, very, very plain verse here. You know, you walk in the Spirit. You walk in the Holy Spirit. You allow the Holy Spirit to take your day and take your time and so forth. You won't have any trouble with the flesh. You won't have any trouble with the old world. You won't have any trouble going back to the old ways. The old man, as the Bible says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You won't have trouble if you just decide, hey, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to start off my day with the Lord. I'm going to read my Bible throughout the day. That's why I issued a challenge. Let me tell you something. I say it again. I'll say it one more time. You make time every single day to walk with God and talk with Him and read His book. I promise you, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. And to not do so, is it any wonder why we have trouble with the flesh? Is it any wonder? Because we need that spiritual meat, if you will, to go ahead and give us strength throughout the day and give us strength at the workplace and give us strength as we walk down a mall. You got to have strength to do that, to protect your eyes and everything that you do from the world. And what I'm trying to say, you know what? I walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh, verse number 17, lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. They're contrary. They'll fight against each other. Now, if you go ahead and you allow the Holy Spirit to dominate your life, then you know the Bible teaches right here, you're going to become a fruity Christian in a good way. We can laugh. You will. Okay? You say, preacher, what do you mean? Okay, let's look down to real quick. Now, if you go ahead and you submit to the flesh, okay, I'm not going to take all the time, but you read 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, them are the kind of things that you're going to partake of. All right, you're going to make me read it. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, okay, I'll read it, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, verse number 19 of Galatians 5, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you want to go ahead and submit to the flesh, them are the things that you're going to kind of that you will partake of. But the truth is, if you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you each and every day, God, get on your knees. God, Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, the Bible says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. You know, I take that scripture. If I'm going to go ahead and be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God for Him to lead me and guide me so I don't go ahead and do foolishness and maybe partake of some of this, the works of the flesh and so forth, I got to yield my body a living sacrifice. I got to present my body. You know what? It's not a bad idea for you to go ahead and say, okay, God, control my eyes. I'm saying the Bible, Romans 12, chapter 1, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I present my body, I yield, I give, I present it up. Here it is, God, okay? Control my mind. God, you control my eyes, you control what I say. God, you control my ears, you control my tongue. God, I want you to go ahead and I want you to fill me with your power. I don't want to go by the wayside. I don't want to go back to the old ways, for I know what that'll go ahead and do to me. That'll destroy my testimony. It'll destroy your testimony. It'll destroy my family. It'll destroy my church. It'll destroy my kids. Hey, I don't want to go back to the old ways. So God, you fill me and you help me. God, I give you my body. Help me to live clean. Help me to live pure. You control every limb that I have. You control what I say, what I talk about, and so forth. Hey, you know what? Salvation will take you to holiness. The fruit of the Spirit, I mentioned, it'll make you fruity, okay? You say, what does that mean, preacher? Right here in verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is this, okay? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no law. You know what? God will go ahead and give you love. God will go ahead and give you peace. God will go ahead. You know what? That's what it is. The fruit of the Spirit is this. You'll be able to go ahead and produce fruit. You will be able to, you know, you walk in the Spirit. I mean, I wish I could take these words little by little, but I can't tonight. But you walk in the Spirit, you'll have a hard time. You'll have a hard time having hatred towards one another. You say, well, you know, I have, okay, maybe there is someone that's not so kind to you. That doesn't mean that you go ahead and hate them. I think if you go up a little bit there in verse number, I think, 20, hatred's power of the flesh. You know, you won't have trouble, you know, and I say, well, this happened, so I'm not going to go ahead, you know, I'm not going to go ahead and say anything to them, and I'm going to be mean to them. I don't like them. Hey, you know, the Bible says that a Holy Spirit yielded Christian will love. Love, joy, peace. Anyways, that's a little side note, and I don't have time to catch that rabbit, but you know what I'm talking about. Hey, you know what? Where's salvation going to take you? It'll take you to heaven. It'll take you into holiness. There will be a difference. There ought to be a difference. People ought to look at you and say, boy, there's something different about you. It's amazing. When I worked out in the world, you know, people did notice. I wasn't ashamed. Not ashamed of the gospel. You know, Paul said that, but I wasn't ashamed. You know what? You know, had the haircut, you just groomed yourself well and so forth. And people, you know, you sit down at lunch, you pray. I mean, you sit down at lunch and you're not ashamed of the Lord and so forth, and you pray openly, you know, people are going to look. People, you know, I'm not talking about one of these things. Drop a napkin. Dear Jesus, bless this food. Amen. I'm not talking about that. You know, and listen, what I'm saying, people ought to see that there's a difference in you. Wherever you go, people ought to see there's a difference in you. And may I say without boasting, and I think I might have said it before, but, you know, especially when our children were younger, you may think they were angels, but when they were younger especially, you take four kids, some of you have, you take four kids and go into a restaurant and eat. A lot of times, it's almost like World War III. A lot of times. But let me just stop and say this. How often, and again, I'm not saying this boastingly, okay? A lot of it was patience on our end. A lot of it, of course, discipline, the way the scripture says, and different things. But how often, whenever we took our four youngins, especially when they were much younger, people that might sit across the table or different things, they'd go ahead and be watching us and so forth. And how often we heard, boy, I tell you, we've never seen such a group of well-behaved children in our life. You know what I'm trying to say? People ought to be able to tell there's something different. Why the difference? It's God. That's it. Not because I, as a parent, was somebody special. No. It was God. It was taking the principles of the Word of God and hiding them in my heart and instilling them in my children. That's what it is. And there ought to be a difference. People ought to see that there's a difference in you at work, wherever you go. Anyways, there will be a desire to serve the Lord. You know, the Lord has a prepared will for you. He does. You know, when you got saved, you know, the things, as I mentioned before, the things you used to do, you don't do them anymore. Boy, the old things should have been passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There should be a new desire, a spring in your step. Lord, I want to serve you. And there should be a desire to serve the Lord. There should be a desire to do more, if you will, for the Lord. And number three, salvation will take you into the harvest. The Bible said in Mark chapter 16:15, very familiar verse. The Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Salvation, you know, let me just say this. There's a world going to hell tonight. And again, I've mentioned earlier, the Bible teaches that hell was only created for the devil and his angels. But according to God's plan, those who reject Jesus Christ, eternal hellfire, according to the scripture, the Bible says, Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. So those who do not know Jesus as Savior, okay, that's where they will be cast. Now, there's a world going to hell. And you ought to thank God tonight if you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, that you know Jesus, you're going to heaven, that you're not going to that place called hell. You ought to thank God enough to say, you know what? I want to keep somebody out of that place. I want to go ahead and show somebody how to be saved. It may be a co-worker. It may be a lost mama or a lost daddy. It may be a lost cousin. Maybe a lost child. It might be a lost neighbor. I don't know who it is, but you know what? Salvation ought to give you a desire that, hey, you know what? Because I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It can never be taken away. It doesn't matter who or what or ever happens to me. It can never be taken away. Hey, you know what? There ought to be a desire in your heart. Salvation ought to drive you to telling somebody about Jesus. It ought to encourage you to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Sharing the gospel is a mark of genuine salvation. Jesus never called us to be lazy. As a matter of fact, he wants us to be busy letting our light shine before men. Let me ask you a question. Do people see that light of Jesus in you? Do they? You know, wow, today it was hard. I got to illustrate you. People like it when the preacher confesses. It was hard today. I tell you, if I ever, boy, I'm going to confess. I talked to the Lord about it later. If I ever wanted a little bit of road rage, it was today. Don't get me wrong. Okay, listen to me. This is a funny story, really. It really is. You know, coming back from my bus route, okay, on the bus, and all the while, you know, I'll tell you that part in a moment. On the bus, I was following, you know, all the way, just about all the way from Wareham, all the way down into the center of town by the police station there. They turn off. I was following this pickup truck. Now, along 58, there's several, you know, the speed limit does change several to 35 to 50 to, you know, it does change a few different times. And all the way, I'm literally from the Wareham line, Carver-Wareham line to the center of Carver. No joke, I was going 35 miles an hour. No joke. Now, you know what I'm talking about. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, and if I didn't have Faith Baptist Church on the side of that bus, you know, and people like it when the preacher confesses, amen. But it was like, you know, and later on, I came back and said, Lord, I'm sorry. My heart was really, it was really out of tune for just a moment. And where was I going with that? But, you know, but finally he turned off. You know, let me just say that I got to add to that story. You know how it turns off, you know, you're going down. Is that all of 58 that takes you right out to 128 or what's, or 28, right? Okay. And then it turns off. You can go to Plymouth. And then, you know, I said, okay, surely he's going to go straight. I'm turning. He's going to go straight. Lord, please let him go. Lord. I said, Lord, please let him go straight, 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 straight. The blinker goes on. I go, oh, man. But anyways, but I'll have to admit, you know, but my light was dimming just a little bit. I'll have to admit. But you know what we must be? You know what? Jesus never called us into laziness. We must be busy shining our lights. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Boy, you go to work tomorrow, boy, you ought to let that light shine. People ought to know. People ought to just know that you're a Christian, that you're a child of God. Every Christian, you know, by the way, you know, let me just say this. Every Christian is a witness, either for or against Jesus. Which are you? Yeah, you say, you know, how often? Bible teaches you can be saved so as by fire. You never grow. You never, whatever. You just never allow the Word of God to go ahead and water your heart and so forth. But you know what? Let me just say this. You ought to be a testimony of Jesus Christ everywhere you go. You ought to have a desire in your heart that, you know, carry some tracks with you. Boy, you know what? I can't go so, I'm not very verbal and so forth. Okay, well, you know, it's not hard. Just carry a track and say, hey, you know, I just want to invite you to church. Take time to read that track. There's some Bible verses in there. Tell you how you can be saved. Okay, thank you. You know, something like that. But boy, we ought to, heaven will take you into his harvest. And then heaven, my last point, will take you to the house of God. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, very familiar portion of scripture, but I'm going to turn to it. Bible says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Heaven will take you to the house of God. You know,
Salvation is always accompanied by a desire to gather with other Christians and to worship the Lord. It's always accompanied. You know, and your salvation ought to drive you to a point that I want to grow. You know, God has given us a means, if you will, after you get saved, for us to go ahead and do that. He's given us the local church, the local Bible-believing independent church, preaching the Word of God. And he's given us the means, if you will. You know what? We ought not ever say, well, you know what? I'm not growing. I don't have the means. You know what? We do have the tools. Number one, he's left us the Word of God right here. Okay? And he's also given us a place every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night to come hear the Word of God preached, hear it taught in a Sunday school class, come to a prayer meeting on Wednesday night and hear the Wednesday evening Bible study. He's given us a means to grow. Salvation always accompanied by a desire to not just gather with the saints, but also to worship the Lord, to also grow, if you will. There will be a desire to praise and worship the Lord to one who is saved. There ought to be that desire. But you know, unfortunately, listen, maybe there's someone under the sound of my voice this evening that because of circumstances, some tough times, boy, the wind is kind of taken out of your sails, isn't it? You know what? And your faithfulness may be just kind of hit or miss. Well, you ought to be careful of that. Be very, very careful of that. Hey, salvation will take you to the house of God. You know, I just, like I said, was just writing several different things down just to try to help us reflect upon our salvation. The greatest day of my life was September 12th, 1996. I grew up in a Christian home, all that. I'm not going to tell, but that's when I settled my salvation. I was 26 years old at Bible college. Preacher got up, just preached it the way it is, the way it's meant to be preached. He said the title of my message, "Are You Going to Hell?" from Hiles Aronson College. The truth of the matter is, I remember a few different times. I remember a time as a six-year-old boy especially that I might have perhaps got saved at that time, because I do remember it distinctly. But somewhere along the way, I had some doubts and different things, and you know, I wasn't going to doubt it anymore. I was done. You know, I had to go ahead and literally kind of swallow my pride, if you will, because here I was surrounded by other preacher boys in a chapel at a Bible college sitting there. Man, I just got to settle this thing. I got to settle this thing. 26-year-old man, an evening college chapel. Me and about 40 other men, I think a few ladies as well, went forward in that chapel. We settled our salvation. The greatest day of my life. I call it my salvation date, literally, because I go back and I remember that Brother Sprunger went ahead very sweetly, very softly, put his arm around me. He's one of the Bible college teachers there, and just said, "Let's settle this thing, Brother Sean." Tears coming down my eyes. Said, "I don't want to doubt anymore. I don't want this doubt anymore." Greatest day of my life. I'm thankful to know tonight that my salvation's taken me to heaven, taken me into holiness, taken me to the harvest, and it brings me to the house of God. I enjoy myself. I enjoy the Christian life. You know, the greatest life, listen, church, greatest life there is the Christian life. It is. Yes, we have our battles. Yes, we have our ups and downs. But maybe here tonight, if you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus as Savior. You know, listen. You know, nobody's going to make fun of you because of that. Truth of the matter is, all will rejoice because you want to get saved. That's how we are here. If you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus as Savior. You don't know much about this journey, about where salvation, I don't know where I'm going, if you will. It might be simply because you don't know Jesus as Savior. And I'm not trying to scare you. I want you to come to reality, you know, because the truth of the matter is we're all one day going to face God, all of us. And the Bible says the books will be open and the Lamb's Book of Life will be there. And I know my name's written there. And those that are saved, their names will be written in that Lamb's Book of Life. I want yours there. I want you to know it. Maybe here tonight you don't know Jesus as Savior, but I encourage you, won't you make tonight the night? Don't be bashful about it. Don't be ashamed about it. It's nothing to be ashamed about. Jesus was never ashamed of you. Died on that cross, a very shameful death. He was never embarrassed for you, about you. He went ahead and he did it willingly. Boy, you know what? You willingly ought to step out and say, tonight I'm going to settle my salvation. Maybe here tonight, Christian. Maybe some of them areas, you know, your salvation really hasn't thrust you or driven you into that. Maybe you're witnessing. Maybe your church attendance. Maybe whatever the case may be. Maybe holiness, separation. You know, maybe there's an area in your life that you just need to shore up, if you will, tonight. But I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to do that. Our Heavenly Father, we do love you. We do thank you for tonight, God. We thank you for your word, Lord. I, with your power, God, the very best I could, tried to relay a very simple message, very practical message here tonight. A reminder to many of us, but maybe there's some of us here tonight, just this is new. We just never really heard it, maybe this way, I don't know. But I pray, dear God, that your will would be done. I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here under the sound of my voice this evening that does not know you as personal Savior, that today, as the scripture says, today will be the day of salvation. I pray, dear God, that they'd be saved and they'd leave these doors knowing for sure that they'd be on their way to heaven. I ask to be with a Christian. Maybe there's a Christian here tonight. Maybe they just need to rejoice about their salvation. Boy, they're thrust into these areas. They're in the church. They're soul winning. They're living separated. They're doing things that they know they ought to do. But maybe they just need to come and just rejoice about their salvation tonight. But maybe there's just a Christian here tonight, a little bit of indifference. Maybe there's just some areas in their life they need to shore up. I pray, Holy Spirit, whatever your will would be that needs to be done tonight, your will be done. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, maybe here tonight, and I would not embarrass you. I want you to understand, I would not embarrass you any way, shape, or form. If you're here tonight, and you'd be honest with me, you say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. But I want someone to show me from the Word of God, God's precious Word, how I could know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know for sure, but you know what? Tonight, I want to settle that thing like you did at a Bible college. I want to settle it tonight. Would you? I will not embarrass you. I will not come to you. I will not. I want the Holy Spirit to do everything here. But if you're like that tonight, you don't know Jesus as Savior tonight, you'd like to settle it. Would you please pray with me about it? This is my. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Anybody at all? Say, preacher, would you please pray with me? Okay, maybe you're here tonight. Say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. This is the second part of the question of the invitation. God spoke to my heart. Would you just please pray with me about some things? Anybody, just raise your hand. Just pray with me about some things, preacher. Here's my hand. Anybody at all? There you go. Anybody else? God's just spoke to my heart tonight. Would you just please pray with me? Anybody else? Our Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the precious, perfect word of God. Thank you for allowing us to be in church tonight, God. We thank you for your love, your goodness to us. We thank you for the new year, boy. God, I'm just so excited about the new year. Just that thrill and that joy of some things that's coming down the road here. I'm just so excited about it. I pray, dear God, that as we start off this new year, that we will reflect upon our prayer life and our salvation and get driven to maybe do a little bit more and to find whatever you've given us to do and just give it all we got. I pray, dear God, that you just give us that energy that we need to keep serving you, to keep on keeping on for you. Pray, God, you'd bless. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, let's stand to our feet.